Oh my gosh. There was a game.
There was.
There was a game tonight. I was there. Were you there?
I was there.
Derek was there.
He was.
Derek, not here. The voice some of you may recognize from our sister podcast, that would be JC Bobbitt, the host of Cheaters Never Pin, a part of the Section 328 podcast family, is basically tapped in tonight. He was basically the hot tag for Derek, whose newborn daughter, rumor has it, may have pooped all the way up her back, and Derek was needed at home. So he was not able to attend this podcast after the game, but those of us who have children know what he's dealing with, and those of you who don't have children have a visual that you'll never ever be able to get out of your mind. So, you know, we've provided that tonight, JC.
Yes, that's now burned into my brain permanently. Yeah. I'm also glad to get that hot tag. Hopefully I don't Ultimate Warrior this and blow up, you know, 30 seconds into it, but we'll give it a good shot.
Yeah. Hopefully you also don't Enzo Amore this, but people who don't listen to Cheaters Never Pin have no idea what we're talking about, so we're going to move this thing on. First home preseason game tonight. Third preseason game in three consecutive nights in the books. Lots of fun things to talk about. Some new stuff up on Cheaters Never Pin tonight. We're talking about the opening night tailgate tonight, JC. So all sorts of things that I'm prepared to bring forth on this episode of Cheaters Never Win. What are you bringing to the table?
Absolutely nothing except maybe a beer review.
Beer reviews are good. Actually, I do need you to bring one more thing, though.
Yeah, what's that?
I need you to hit that damn X button.
I'm in a different city, Mike.
Is there a different language in Durham? Hit the X button.
All right.
Welcome to the Cheaters Never Win podcast, another fine product of Section328.com. Here you'll find all the Hurricanes hockey talk, adult beverage reviews, and snark a growing body needs. Follow us on Twitter at Section_328. Respect the underscore. And now back to Derek and
welcome
Mike.
Back, folks. Thanks for listening to this, the third episode on now, I believe, the fifth season of Cheaters Never Win. Still currently, shockingly and surprisingly, a proud member of the Sports Channel 8 podcast network.
Woo, do do do.
Yeah, see, look, you thought all you were going to do was hit the X button and drink a beer, and you two are bringing the sound effects that make this such a highly produced and I think we were up for a podcast Emmy this year. I don't think we won, but I think we were up for one, which is nice.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm trying to live up to the standards of the shoes I'm filling, so
They are long and slender. So speaking of things that were long and slender, our two-game winning streak to start off the season. So, JC, before we get into talking about tonight's first home preseason contest at the PNC Arena, we weren't able to watch any of the games because the NHL decides that they don't want new fans, and why would you ever use something like the internet to actually stream preseason games when, you know, they're on the Jumbotrons in the arenas anyway. But we listened. Most of us listened to Chuck and the Letter K. Read the reviews. JC, I almost don't want to do this, but I feel like I have to. JC, could you give us your thoughts on the first preseason game of the year in Buffalo?
You know, if I had to describe it in one word, it's on the tip of my tongue, and I'm having it's McDreamy, Michael.
The game was McDreamy's not a thing, but go ahead.
It is, yes. Derek Allen Ryan, the future captain of your Carolina Hurricanes, with a 3-point night, I believe, right? 2 goals and an assist.
Yeah, it was a 3-point night in KeyBank Arena, I believe it's called now.
I think that is correct.
Yeah, two goals and an assist. No 5-on-5 goals, which is kind of interesting. There was not a single 5-on-5 goal scored in that, I believe it was 3-2 contest. So it was a shorthanded, it was a power play goal, a shorthanded goal, and an assist shorthanded, I believe.
That is correct. Yep. I'm looking at it now.
Yeah, it's something absolutely nutty like that. But Derek Ryan, looking the part of third line center for this Carolina Hurricanes club.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree. I think, you know, especially given the battles we're going to see emerge, I guess, over the next, what do we have, 5 preseason games left as we flesh out the roster. You know, he's going to be up here. It's just a matter of finding out where his slot is. And I think he is certainly putting himself in that position, especially with the kind of veteran presence he's bringing to still what is still a young locker room, even though we've, you know, taken care of some of those problems with the addition of Justin Williams in the leadership kind of role. So, but yeah, he's going to be good in that slot, I think, for sure.
So you mentioned Justin Williams, and that tags in nicely well to game 2. Justin Williams had his first game back in the sightless eye as a member of the Carolina Hurricanes in Tampa Tuesday night for game 2. And Justin Williams led off the scoring on a line that Bill Peters came out today, said we may be seeing a lot more of, and I'm not going to lie, the idea of Justin Williams playing out there with Victor Rask and just some of these younger guys to make them better is just, I mean, Stahl, Aho, Lindholm, Williams, Rask, Skinner, or whomever you want to put on the other side, just sign me up for 82-0 right now.
Yeah, anyone we can put out there that's got the experience and the poise to keep us together late down in a game, because, you know, last year we had so many 1-point games that games where we took 1 point home because we seemed to kind of fall apart a little bit near the end of the game. And anyone that can be out there to kind of keep those young guys together actively on the ice is going to be helpful. And if he's out there in that situation, I expect to take home all 2 points this time.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what that really kind of translates to, not only to start out the season for that long road trip out west, which this year is a little bit less long than has been in previous years, but somebody like Justin Williams, who's going to be able to be in the locker room and take the heat off. What was that you said, Captain Derek Ryan?
Yes, Captain Derek Allen Ryan.
Yeah, I know. Yes. Of things that aren't going to happen, Captain Derek Allen Ryan is less likely to happen than McDreamy being a thing.
You're probably right on that one, unfortunately.
I would
renew my season tickets for 10 years. If it was to happen tomorrow, they could have all of my money and my firstborn. But unfortunately, that's not going to happen, probably. So
No. We could talk all about what's going to happen with the captaincy, but all of that's going to play itself out quite nicely in the next 14 days before the Carolina Hurricanes open their season October 7th against the Minnesota Wild. So we'll kind of let that play out. But 2-game winning streak. The team had been killing off a bunch of penalties because it is the preseason and everyone is calling every penalty, and they're trying to cut down on slashing and cheating in the faceoff circle, and it's led to very choppy games, of which I thought it was interesting. I've heard not only Coach Bill Peters, but some comments from Mike Babcock and some other coaches around the league that the league cutting, really trying to crack down on slashing and some of these other penalties in the preseason, while they understand they're trying to get the players to learn a little bit differently and maybe make it a little bit better flow to the game during the regular season. It's giving these coaches a lot of angina with not being able to see many 5-on-5 minutes for some guys who maybe they are trying to evaluate. And this Carolina Hurricanes club has 3 or 4 spots potentially open between the bottom 4 and defense, that or the bottom 3 and the final pair on defense, that I'm sure Coach Peters would like to get a good solid 5-on-5 look at. Getting some great looks at the penalty kill. Josh Joris, Matt, and our boy Kruger. I mean, come on, loving
it. Putting in some solid work there. I mean, I don't, you know, other than that first game, I don't know that we've given up too much on the power play. Did we even give up one on that?
Yeah, we gave up. We had a 900 penalty kill percentage. We went 1-for-10.
Yeah. So
that's not bad.
Yeah, I mean, especially, you know, you look at the streak we went on the beginning of last year. We know that foundation is there for having a good kill. So hopefully that continues. It looks like it will, at least.
Wait, are you saying that Jay McClement was not the foundation for that penalty kill?
He may be a Corsi machine, but a foundation for a penalty kill, he is not.
He is not a Corsi machine. He is not an advanced stats anything. He is the future third line center for your Pittsburgh Penguins. God rest their souls.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting how the I'm wondering if the NHL is going to start to feel some backlash from this, from the coaching fraternity, and the fact that they are having a tougher time kind of taking a look at it. And as we progress on to game three, one of the nice things we have up in section 328 is the ability, if you look right above our section, there is a small, what looks like above the press box, a little alcove, a cubby. It is where the opposing team's general manager and front office traditionally sits, and tonight's Steve Yzerman was there watching his club, and you could see the frustration on his face every time that the team was taking a penalty, because he was not, again, I'm assuming based upon Bill Peters' thoughts, that not getting a chance to look at the team in such a way that would give him a good ability to evaluate guys in a normal 5-on-5 situation. So going to be interesting to see if there is any reaction from front office or coaches over to the NHL. I know the reaction I had watching the first 40 minutes or so of tonight's game. My reaction was not good. What was your reaction, JC?
Boo. It's probably what my reaction was.
Boo.
If I had to summarize it. Yeah, it was not pretty hockey on the freshly laid sheet of ice at the PNC Arena.
No, it was there was a couple of things, a couple of highlights. So let's, before we get into, what everybody expects me to do, which is bash the guy who is in between the pipes. Breaking news, I'm going to bash the guy who is in the pipes. Let's talk about my favorite treat with hockey, those party nachos. Marty Natchez, also known as Party Nachos, was a beast out there on the ice. He skated quick. He made good decisions. He's positionally sound for such a young kid. Could use obviously a little strength, maybe be a little bit stronger on the puck. Made a great pass for the first power play goal of the night to feed it down deep to, oh gosh, I can't remember who he fed it to, who then put it in the slot, banged it home. But gosh, just a great, great night to watch the guy who kind of surprised us as the first round pick, as we were going, who? Martin who? But Party Nachos. I mean, what was your take on 88 tonight?
Yeah, you kind of summarized pretty much everything I thought. My biggest thing with him right now is he's got to get the strength up. He's still so young. He's got the time to do that. But you covered it. The speed and the positioning of where he was right where it needs to be, especially when you expect someone like that out of a pick that high.
Well, and Derek and I were actually having this conversation on the ride home tonight. I was of the thought, there's really kind of two things. I don't think he's going to stick around and make the big club. I think it does not do him any favors to be stuck in a fourth line role and get 6 minutes a night. He needs to continue to get stronger and develop. So two options to do that is to return to the his European Czech league, or to play for Saginaw. And what's your thoughts, JC? What would you like to see our boy Party Nachos do?
You know, he's got the speed and the positional awareness, so I think maybe going to Saginaw to build the strength a little bit, it would probably be what would suit him best at this point.
So, Derek had the same thought, and I was like, I had to disagree, because I think he's going to be so much more just talented than the guys who are playing in the Canadian Junior Leagues, that I want to see him playing with the men over in Europe. I want to see what playing with Marty Erat and the guys in that Czech League can do for him, versus, being the same strength and infinitely more talented than most of the folks in that Canadian league. So everything I've heard and what we've been told from the front office is that Coach Ron Francis is going to leave that up to the player and the agent, and everything Party Nachos has said is that if he doesn't make the club, he's going back overseas. I will point out that worked well for 20.
Yeah, it did all right for him.
Yeah, I mean, if you go, I guess so. I mean Sebastian, yeah. Seabass. Just Seabass.
It'll work.
That's what Coach calls him.
We can stick with that.
But now he looked really good. Again, I really enjoyed Party Nachos out there tonight. Jeff Skinner looked good out there tonight. Sebastian Aho did his thing. So all in all, not a bad night, not a horrible night. The best thing, I think, is no one got hurt. I think the other thing that was shocking to me tonight, Hayden Fleury, who did not look good, I thought, in the first 10 minutes or so of the game, seemed to kind of find his flow, find his game, and then stuck up for his teammates and ended up getting the gate with a 10-minute. I mean, I don't know if he mouthed off to the ref or there was something more to it, but from our perch up in the cheap seats, it didn't look like the type of fight that would immediately necessitate a game misconduct.
No, he was definitely defending the honor of one McDreamy Derek Ryan without doing anything else. It didn't appear to be much more than that from where we were.
Yeah. So we'll see how that plays out. All in all, it was tough because I was disappointed the first few minutes in Fleury's game, but he seemed to be coming on, and then he's gone. So it's what happens. Let's flip to the other side of this quarter. Guys who may not have had a great game tonight. JC, who was the guy who negatively stuck out in your head?
I saw this comment on Twitter a lot, and I have to agree. I think Jake Bean had a rough game.
Oof.
He just looked off in every aspect of his game tonight. Just kind of all over the place.
I think our buddy from the North State Journal, Corey LaVillette, said it well. He looked overwhelmed most of the night.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a really good way to put it.
And what shocked me is, you know, a guy like Jake Bean, and they talk about his skating, and he's such a good skater. There was times when we were on the power play where he got out-hustled back, and I don't know if it was because he was tired, if he was hurt, if he was, as we mentioned on Twitter, if he was thinking about delicious creamy cheeses. There's no way a kid that young whose claim to fame is his skating ability should get beaten that badly back to a puck on the power play.
No, never.
It was embarrassing, and I felt bad for the kid, and I was like, that's the type of thing where the coach looks at the film the next day and says, yeah, this kid doesn't want to send him back. And he, Jake Bean, he's stuck in that bad situation where I don't think he's got the opportunity to go to Charlotte. He's got to go back to juniors for one more year. And that stinks because I don't know how much better playing in the juniors Jake Bean can make his game. But what I do know is Jake Bean's game tonight was worse than 30s, but not by much.
Yeah. Well, so let's talk about 30. Let's go into that. Hopefully we can agree. First two goals, not on him.
Defensive breakdowns. All goals are the goalie's fault.
Yes and no, but
you have one job: stop the puck.
You're right, but when coverage is completely being blown in front of him, I think of that. The first goal, I can't remember who was back, who was out there at that time.
Fleury.
But just got beasted.
Oh, right, he got swizzled, sticked into the ice.
Yeah. And so, you know, Cam's got to have a little trust in the people in front of him, and I think that definitely was not a case there in that first goal.
No, absolutely not. And you know, we joked tonight that we were going to come home and write a 3,000-word think piece on why this team refuses to play well in front of Cam Ward. But you're right. That first goal was definitely on Fleury, and then, you know, it was that Cam Ward. It's just what happens is when you get that soft one, you just feel it. And That's why we've talked about Cam Ward could come in and have some really good games, but there's just this feeling amongst the fan base and maybe even the team that you let that first soft one in and you're like, oh boy, here comes two or three more, because that's how it is. Cam Ward is really great in a 6-week stretch in late November, and then he'll have a series of nights like he had tonight. Now, tonight was Cam Ward's first play. He hadn't seen the ice, so good opportunity for him to be inside the friendly confines of PNC Arena and to get jeered. So hopefully when the Canes are back on PNC Arena ice many, many preseason games from now, and on Friday night, the 29th of September, we get to see one ginger-bearded giant goalie in Scott Darling and see how he looks on the ice here in PNC.
Absolutely. Hopefully whatever this injury or whatever he's dealing with right now is nothing too major, and he comes back from it, bounces back, gets two or three games in at least, or, you know, partial games, and it is ready to go for October 7th.
Well, Derek, October 7th is right around the corner. And I called you Derek. Sorry, JC.
You did.
Before we get to talking about October 7th, quick thoughts. 2-1, three games in. Derek Ryan looks as good as ever. Sebastian Aho and Justin Williams have also both scored. Is there anybody in the first three games of the season that has kind of stuck out to you that said, hey, here's a guy who's basically lining himself up to potentially be that dark horse and to still be on the roster come October 7th?
I don't think anyone's quite stuck out to me like that yet. Of the people that could very well end up here, Charlotte, I don't know that anyone's made a very strong case to be here yet. Yeah, personally,
I think the 12 or 13 up front are pretty set. I think most of the positions are for the grabbing are going to be on that bottom pair on defense, and you know, we're really looking at, you know, is it Dahlbeck, is it McEwen, is it Fleury? Trevor Carrick had at least point wise had a really great game, and got some really good reviews on his game in Tampa Tuesday night. So Trevor Carrick has been the guy who's been, you know, kind of hovering around this franchise, been doing a lot of great things in Charlotte, has come up to Raleigh a couple of times and not embarrassed himself. Maybe Trevor Carrick's the guy who is slowly trying to grab that 6-7 defenseman spot. And, as a guy, I've met Trevor, talked to him a few times. I don't know if there could be a nicer, more down-to-earth guy, except maybe Scott Darling, that I'd want to root for on this team to kind of come up and fill that role. And who knows? Maybe he's the guy.
Very well could be. That game he had 2 points, 2 assists, 4 hits. You know, he's out there putting in the time, you know, the work and the amount of time he's got right now. So hopefully he's standing out. I would not be opposed to that.
No. So we'll see what happens there. Now, again, in the bottom pair, I think the battle is really between Josh Joris and Phil DiGiuseppe and Brock McGinn in terms of who's going to fill kind of that 12-13 spot on this roster. And I think so far it looks like it's coming down to two guys between McGinn and PDG again. And based upon tonight's game, PDG did himself no favors.
Yeah, he was looking rough tonight.
Yeah, out of position at times, was doing a good job of hanging out in front of the net and trying to be that screen and that creative jam guy in front of the net. But I don't know if anyone is ever going to confuse Phil DiGiuseppe with Andrew Ladd, maybe at least Andrew Ladd before the current contract. Andrew Ladd maybe after the current contract may have more with Phil, more in line with Phil than even Andrew likes to say. But right now, I think that role is going to fall into, it's going to be Nordstrom, McGinn, Kruger, Joris. And that doesn't stink, you know, as kind of the bottom four guys on the team. That's much better than what we've had in years past.
Yeah, it definitely doesn't feel like we're kind of scraping into the bottom of the barrel anymore.
Nah,
trying to find what pieces can we, you know, who actually has two legs at work? Oh yeah, they can go ahead and get out here tonight.
Yeah. So biggest thing that happened tonight, no injuries. Jordan Stahl took a high stick, but looked like he came back none the worse for wear. So looks like we got out of tonight's game with no injuries. So big thumbs up there. I want to move on to something that was on the blog this week, actually came out today, that the entire Section 328 crew, actually Hannah, rolled up in here in the worldwide headquarters and said, I need three predictions from everybody. What's your biggest, what's your baddest, what's your boldest prediction for this season? I'm like, geez, oh, Pete, rookie just rolling up in here, setting editorial guidelines and saying what they need from the entire staff. What is this? You get somebody on staff who has one journalism degree from some Franklin Street University, and they think they can, you know, write stuff.
Yeah, but at least she probably went to class.
Yeah, she probably did. We are super happy to have Hannah on staff, and she's doing great stuff. But JC, you made a couple of the bigger, badder, bolder predictions for those folks who may not have gone to the blog to read it. Do you care to share, since you have these airwaves, what were your big, bad, and bold predictions for this season?
Yeah, so for my big prediction, I said not only will we reach the Stanley Cup playoffs, but we're going to have such an energy, such a fire lit under this team. We're going to reach the Eastern Conference Finals.
That's what these Canes do. We get to the playoffs, we reach the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a big prediction. I don't know if it's bold, but that's big.
Well, we haven't gotten to bold yet.
Before we go bold, go bad.
I felt awful writing this.
You should. But
I should have.
I felt awful reading it.
I know.
I'm going to keep interrupting you just so that way we don't have to listen to this.
October and November are going to be great, and we're going to have great runs.
Yes, they are. Okay, let's go on your bold. Oh, you're more done. Never mind. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're gonna kill it on that State Fair road trip. But then late November, early December is gonna get here, and boy, the injury bug's gonna come in and bite us. And there's gonna be one that's at least season ending, and a lot of these injuries are gonna be on the young guys. And then the Blendomatic's gonna be working in full force. Yep.
And we're still going to reach the Eastern Conference Finals with that group. All right, what's your bold prediction, JC?
My boldest prediction, Scott Darling is going to be your Vezina Trophy winner. 9.30 save percentage and a goal against somewhere between 2 and 2.1.
Ooh, a 2.07 save, a 2.07 goals against and a 9.30 save percentage.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, I'm full. I'm making eggplant parmesan over here.
What were your predictions, Michael?
My predictions were maybe a little tongue in cheek. I will say my big prediction was that the Carolina Hurricanes were going to earn 98 points and finish third in the Metro Division. That's right. I'm calling it not only playoffs, I'm calling non-wild card playoffs. So that way, when the number one wild card team beats whoever is first in the Metro, we get a home series. Not that that's ever happened before.
No, but it would be nice. I mean, we didn't get the tickets this year, so there's a chance, I feel like.
Yeah, I think so. My bad prediction, I took it not as something bad that would happen to the Carolina Hurricanes, but something that will probably be viewed as an idiotic prediction. I said the Washington Capitals will secure the Eastern Conference's second wild card spot on the next to last day of the season. I'm saying the Washington Capitals are going to be a borderline playoff team.
I think that's even more annoying than usual.
Me being more annoying or the Capitals?
Oh, no, the Capitals. That's way more annoying than usual.
Yeah, okay.
Usually they just dominate everybody, but now just, oh, okay, we just squeaked in here so we can lose to the Penguins. Cool. Yeah, thanks for giving us that spot.
Cool story, bro. But at least they can lose in the first round, which would be nice. And my bold prediction was that later on in the article, Hannah was going to be very wishy-washy and flip-flop on her big predictions, thinking about doing something with Skinner, and then realizing that she wants to say something about Elias Lindholm. I will ask that everyone go to section328.com and see how my bold prediction played out, because, yeah, that happened. Yeah, I think lots of good stuff happening over on 328.com. We're going to hit cheat mail here in a second, but if you're not taking part in Pat Clark's, a.k.a. Kane's Prospects, a.k.a. probably, if we're doing the smart guy ranking of the 328 crew, Pat's probably 1B, maybe 1A, I don't know. If we put him and Oliver in a steel mind cage, I don't know who comes out of it.
In Thunderdome, there can be only one, though, Mike.
In Thunderdome. But what if it's like hell in a cell, mental hell in a cell between Pat and Oliver? Kanalytics and Kane's Prospects.
I feel like
Oliver. Who do you trust more? Do you trust numbers or do you trust young guys?
I feel like Oliver's taking the bump off the top onto the announce table. Pat's going to roll out.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I feel like that's how that match would be booked.
I like it. I like it. But Pat Weekly on every Thursday is going to be doing the 328 mailbag. So make sure you're interacting with Pat there. But as always, we're not going to stop. Maybe our things are a little more lighthearted here, and sometimes they're a little silly, and sometimes they're smart, and more often than not, they're just me and Derek making up stuff. But tonight it's going to be me and JC making up stuff for this edition of Cheat Mail, Cheat Mail. Gotta go get that cheat mail. What's in the cheat mail bag tonight there, JC?
Oh, let's see. The first question we have up is from our friend on the Twitter at Not That Alex Jones. What does a successful season look like for Fleury?
A successful season for Fleury is 57 games with the big club.
I see. I was thinking 50. So yeah.
North of 50 games is probably a successful season for Hayden Fleury. I think even if he does start off the season with the big club, he is going to have potentially the ability to backslide and maybe spend a little bit of time up and down on that Amtrak between here and Charlotte. So
yeah, as I was saying, I can also see him being scratched, needing to go down there for maintenance every once in a while and coming up, depending on what the situation is with whoever else manages to emerge over the next week and a half to kind of step up and make this club.
There you go. JC, one for you. This one from Willie Will. He is at Bacon, Eggs, and Cam. Do you see the Canes making any more free agency moves or trades before the start of the season?
Well, other than the signing of Eric Cole today, no, I think we're done. I think we're very set with what's here.
Yeah.
Ron Francis and Bill Peters both seem very pleased with the group that is assembled.
I think we're comfortable with the team that we have here in Raleigh. I think this is a team that can really work hard and put it together and get to the postseason. So here's the other thing that there's. Not this is that time where everyone's going, well, let's just see what we've got, because the values aren't really high right now. So unless somebody major out there were to get hurt and need some assistance from said Carolina Hurricanes and we're willing to take a beating from general manager Ron Francis to get it, I just don't see anything happening. If there were free agency moves to be made, they had to be made before camp, again, barring some horrible injury. I mean, there's only a couple of free agents out there that are even going to play, right? I mean, there's Jaromir Jagr, who may or may not play. There's John Michael Lyles and a couple other guys. But I mean, if they were really interested in those guys, I think those guys would be up and be part of training camp. And also, we've got the whole roster situation we've got to deal with, which is you're allowed to have whatever 50 NHL or 50 contracts, and I believe right now we are at 48, 49 contracts, and that's assuming we don't sign Jake Bean and Marty Natchez to contracts, and they go back to junior and overseas, and they don't count against that cap. So we have a fair amount of contracts. I don't think anything's going to happen.
No.
No. Let's see. We're a little light on cheat mail this week, Derek. Derek, JC, Jesus, I'm awful. That's twice, three times, and I'm out. Last one here. This one from Raising River. He is at Real Christoph, or maybe Real Christf. I don't know. Who has the brighter future, Callum Booth or Alex Nedeljkovic? I'll take that one first.
I was going to say Ned is the first one that popped into my head.
That would be incorrect. Thanks for playing. Callum Booth is the real deal. Alex Nedeljkovic came in with a lot of notoriety from what he had done for the U.S. junior team. But I just don't see Alex Nedeljkovic being the next John Gibson. I do see Callum Booth as a young guy who could play his way onto this squad into the next couple of years. Neither one of them are going to see NHL ice this year. It's going to be, can either one of them grow enough this year to be at such a point that they would be able to take over the backup job next year when Cam Ward no longer has a contract with your Carolina Hurricanes? JC, take the podcast. Just give me a minute. I need to let that.
I was going to say that. That's nice.
Yeah, that's nice.
Now here's the thing though. When that happens, you realize probably shortly thereafter there's going to be a 30 hanging in the rafters you're going to have to stare at every day.
That's fine.
Okay.
I have a giant picture of Cam Ward stopping Fernando Persani in Game 7, and I will always respect what Cam Ward has done. I will respect it much more once he's no longer letting in goals high glove side or soft five hole. Speaking of soft five holes, how's that beer you're drinking?
Well, it's quite delicious, Mike.
Tell us about it.
Yeah, so this evening I am enjoying a, Day Blazer from New Belgium Brewery. The description on the box says, a delicious, easygoing ale with a rewarding hint of lemongrass citrus aroma for a clean finish. Now, I may not have quite the refined palate and ability to take out all the different notes out of it like our buddy Derek would. This is a damn tasty beer. I enjoyed a couple of them out in the parking lot today when it was a little warm, a little rainy before the game got started. Really nice, light, easy drinking beer. Really enjoy it. Would suggest it if you need something for a tailgate or something like that.
You used the word tailgate in there a couple of times. So what I heard from you is that Daybreak from New Belgium may be a good tailgate beer.
It certainly is.
What if
we had some of that on the 7th?
I mean, what if we went ahead and told folks now what we were thinking about? I mean, we normally wait till like a week before, but this is a preseason podcast and not everyone's going to be listening to this. Should we just let the cat out of the bag kind of now?
We don't need to get them hype. We need to make sure they stay hype.
You're right. So folks, the planning has been months and months and months. We are less than 3 weeks away from all of us and all of you once again getting together in that beautiful patch of grass in the east lot outside of the PNC Arena for the inaugural season opening Section 328 tailgate. So we're not going to give all of the details out, but we'll give you a few. We're going to be out there early. How early? Earlier than you. We'll just leave it at that because we have that special spot in the East Lot that we love so much that those of you who come out there and join us, it's in the shadow of the big billboard that's on right there as you exit off onto Wade Avenue on the east side of the PNC Arena. So we're going to be out there early. We're going to be saving our spot. We're going to have tents. We've got cornhole. We've got a bunch more kind of tailgate games this year. Did and you're saying, oh, did the Patreon and everything from Section 328, you know, afford all of these extra stuff? We'd like to say yes, not yet, but they have afforded us the ability to reach out to friends. And we've made some great friends this summer, specifically our friends over at New Belgium Brewing. And the folks over at New Belgium are going to bring some tents. They're going to bring some more tailgate games like washers and the little golf ball ladder toss thing and more cornhole boards for an even bigger cornhole tournament this year. So we're going to have a lot more accoutrement. But our friends at New Belgium may also bring a couple extra stacked coolers of cold, smooth, delicious New Belgium beer direct from the brewery in Asheville with them. So as our folks from New Belgium are going to roll up on the tailgate, I think it would be safe to say, JC, that we'll be handing out wristbands to folks who may be of age. And as long as you don't show up at 6:30 for a 7:30 game expecting a whole bunch of beer, there's a good chance you're going to be able to enjoy a few beers on the 328 and the New Belgium crew if you do make your way out to the tailgate this year.
Absolutely. Our friends at New Belgium will be able to provide you with a delicious, cool beverage to enjoy before the rest of the festivities of the day.
Yes, the rest of the festivities, including, I mean, we'll have our grills out there, but you know, food can come and go, and folks get hungry. So much like last year, our friends at Donato's have agreed to bring out I believe what they said was a metric shit ton of pizza. They're going to provide us with a whole stack of pizzas for all of us, all of you, all of our friends. So that way we are going to have hot, fresh, delicious pizza from Donato's. And if you haven't had it, they use those little pepperonis that kind of curl up around the edges and they get them kind of nice and crispy, and they put like 10,000 pepperonis on a pizza, and then, oh, it's just so delicious. Yeah. That, a nice, cold, delicious Day Blazer or whatever other beer. Rumor has it the New Belgium guys may bring a couple of special editions out there with us that you may not be able to find a lot of places. So, again, come out. I think the tailgate's officially going to kick off around 3 or 4 o'clock for a 7:30 game. If we were to tell you some of us may be out there before noon, if you accused us of that, we may call you a liar, but we may still be out there before noon. We're going to make a good day of it. We're going to be out there with food and drink. We're working through potentially a few other sponsorships as well around t-shirts to maybe produce some free special edition, limited edition t-shirts that if that comes through, we'll definitely let you know about that. If not, we'll have those for a future tailgate. But we can't say thank you to the friends we've made over the summer over at New Belgium. They've just been absolutely phenomenal, and we look forward to having them be part of this big family. And again, thank you to Donato's in advance for bringing a whole bunch of pizza, because then I'm going to have to cook much fewer darling dogs this year. Oh, what are darling dogs? Hey, JC, you're going to be the first 328er to hear this.
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting the dog shipped from Chicago with the celery salt, with the relish. There will be 50.
Talk slower.
There will be 50, count them, 50 darling dogs that will make their way from Chicago to us for the opening night tailgate.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man, this is shaping up to be one hell of a day, Mike.
And it's going to be one hell of a day. The only thing that's going to be only thing missing is you. Our friends, our loyal listeners. So make plans. I know everybody has their own tailgates and different things. So if you have your tailgate and you can't make it out for the whole thing, come on over. Just say hi. Have a darling dog with us. Have a beer with us. Hang out. Maybe play a little cornhole. Play a little ladder toss or testicle toss, as Derek and I like to call it. but just come out. Plan on coming out. Having a whole bunch of fun. Somewhere around 6:15, you may have heard about it, will be our world-famous beginning of the season Jaeger Pass, where we crack a bottle of Jaeger and we make a toast to what we are excited about in that upcoming season. And we pass the bottle of Jaeger around all of us and drink out of the same bottle communally until said bottle of Jägermeister is dead. And it is a great time. We have already had someone reach out to us, none other than Mr. Tom Hall. We refer to him as Earth 2 Tom. He is Ocarina of Tom over on Twitter. Ocarina of Tom will be presenting to us this year's commemorative bottle of Jägermeister, which we will then commence to absolutely destroy. So I thought we were going to talk for like, you know, 15, 20 minutes and just try to shoot the shit here tonight, JC, but I think we may have actually pulled together a 45-minute podcast without a guest.
Well, much like Tom and I do every week on Cheaters Never Pin, we're like, all right, let's keep it to an hour, and we end up going an hour and a half. I figured that would be the case.
Yeah, we do this. Guys, thanks for listening tonight. We appreciate it. JC, a very grateful thank you for stepping in and pitch hitting for one Derek Wrestler tonight. I think you did a great job, and thankfully none of us had to change poopy diapers during this podcast like Derek did.
Yes, hallelujah. And if you haven't gotten enough of my voice yet, pop on over to cheatersneverpin.com. It is the wrestling corner of the Section 328 Media Empire. We've got podcasts and a website, too. In fact, we'll be recording later this week for your enjoyment this weekend, getting ready for the next WWE pay-per-view, No Mercy. And follow us on Twitter at cheatersnvrpin there, too. Even if you don't watch wrestling, just give us the follow because it makes me feel good inside when I see that little follow notification. So thanks.
And you know where to find the 328 family, over at section_328.
Respect the underscore.
You can get this podcast everywhere the podcasts are. You've already found it, so you know you don't need to know all of that. But what you can do is you can tell all of your friends how to find this podcast. They can subscribe over on iTunes, over on Podomatic, Google Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, all sorts of places where good podcasts are found. And continue to check out all of the great content we're going to be pumping out for you this season over at section328.com. New shirt hit the website this week. If you haven't seen the heavy metal tour band inspired new Skinner t-shirt, the Chalky Milk and Smiles tour shirt is now available over on 328.com. We've got a new shirt that is going to be, let's call it, our first ginger-centric t-shirt is going to go up next week. So a couple of new pieces of merch coming to you that you can get before that opening night tailgate. And again, just looking forward to having all sorts of fun this season over on 328. We do this for you guys. We do this for us. It does take a few bucks to pay the bills between buying microphones and keeping our software up to date and paying for podcast hosting and all of that stuff. So a couple of ways you can support us: A, listen, rate, review, subscribe, tell folks that we don't suck. We do really appreciate that. The other thing you can do is if you like to buy stuff on Amazon, you know, you can always roll on over to Section 328 before you go to Amazon and click on the Buy on Amazon button. It doesn't cost you an extra dime, but when you do make that purchase on Amazon, they throw a couple of pennies over to the Section 328 bank account, and that helps us be able to pay things for, like, you know, website hosting and podcast hosting and all of that, and hopefully eventually will allow us to save up enough ducats to make our way to Dallas this year to give you guys the best of the best in draft coverage when the Carolina Hurricanes select their next first round draft pick, hopefully 29th in the 2018 draft, if JC's big bold prediction is to come true and the Carolina Hurricanes are to make the Eastern Conference Finals. You like how I kind of tied that all together there, JC?
That was nice. I've learned a lot today about cohesion and podcasting, Mike.
We try here, and we thank you guys for trying to make it all the way through with us. We promise to do better next time, but until then, my name's Mike.
My name is JC.
And we are out of here.
Bye.